So today, though, I'm going to be talking about training. Who likes to train here? Anybody? Anybody? I don't believe you. I've tried training before, and it is horrible. I go, like, especially depending on what kind it is, you know, body, I go about 30 seconds in, and I'm like, all right, I'm done. But I'm going to start off today by reading 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. And it's Paul talking here, and he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Now the prize awaits for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So I'm going to be talking about training to finish the race. Now, this passage of scripture you've probably heard hundreds of times. I'm going to be honest with you. The message I'm going to be speaking today is a message you've probably heard, a variation of it, 100 of times. But I know even though for me, even though I've heard it hundreds of times, every time I look at it, I'm like, oh yeah, and things I have to be reminded of. So when Paul's talking about the race, he's talking about the race of life. When he was referring to, you know, he will get his reward at the end, he's talking about the end of his race, which is us either leaving our earthly body or Jesus coming back. So when we're talking about training to finish the race, the training we're doing is a lifelong training. It's a training that we will have until the day we are gone. So for all of us, no matter where you're at in life, the training is still going on. And the training that we do still affects us. So one of the first things I'm going to talk about with our training, one of the first things we have to do is focus. Now, the definition of focus is the center of interest or activity. Here's the thing. No matter what, you're focused on something. Now, focusing is setting your mind to the task. Now, you could be a lot like me. I have trouble focusing. Let me give you an example of what I saw a few weeks ago that to me captured the way my mind works a lot. So it was a few Sundays ago. It was right after worship. Pastor Ken was up here, you know, leading everybody in prayer, doing all, you know, it was a really Holy Spirit moment. And everyone was just praying, hands lifted. I was in the back waiting for the kids to come back. And I look over here to the side, and I see one of Pastor Tyler's daughters over there, all this intense worship going on. She's just going over there. Ah. Yeah. And I sit here and thought to myself, like, that's how my mind works so much. That no matter what's going on, if I'm sitting here, oh, devil, you be, I resist you, I'm going to have this breakthrough, and then all of a sudden, And then my mind goes down this whole rabbit trail for the next 20 minutes, like, well, I'm going to, okay, what if I did, and then I'm like, wait, wasn't I doing something? I don't know. Focusing is difficult. You're always focused on something, whether it's the one thing, many things, whatever it may be. But what you're focused on determines so much of your life. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 tells us this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Now that's the part we're at right now, the part we're at in life. This next part describes the focus and what we're supposed to focus on. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, discarding its shame. Now he is sitting at the place of honor beside God's throne. So what does Hebrews tell us? The way we, you know, the way we strip everything down that slows us down, the way we get rid of the sin, what do we focus on? What do we set our eyes on? Jesus. Now, this is one of those things. These are one of that statements, all this scripture you have heard so many times. But do you know how many times I've heard this and then I found myself, my eyes other places? How many times I've been sitting there and been like, wait a second, Jesus is over here and I'm looking over here. We fix our eyes on him. We focus ourselves on him. Remember, the definition of focus is the center of interest. What's at that center? What's there? Because I can tell you something. Whatever's in that center is what's really getting the attention, what's getting the focus. If Christ is over here, he may be right next to it, but what's at that center? Because focusing is a lot more difficult than some of us like to think. We have so many different things in our life that are trying to take our focus. We have so many things that keep us from focusing. And one of the big things that keeps us from focusing is fear. Fear can keep you from focusing. Okay, who here has ever heard the story of Peter stepping out of the boat to walk on water with Jesus? Here? Raise your hand. All right, so what happens? Jesus pops out of here. Hey, guys, I'm on walking on water. And so I was like, what? That you can do that? Wow. That's not exactly what it says. That's my translation. But then, you know, they're like, wait, that could be a ghost. Oh, my. Ah. And then Peter's like, oh, no, let me see. And he goes, Jesus, if that's you, let me step out of this boat and walk towards you. Jesus is like, let's go. Peter steps out, starts walking on water. At this moment, he is walking on water, looking at Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but I feel like if this was me, I'd be like, okay, he really can do anything. I'm walking on water right now. He starts walking to him and walking to him. And then we've heard it. We've all known the story. What happens? He takes his eyes off Jesus, looks at the storm around him. Fear took his eyes off what he should be focusing on. And what happened then? He sank. See, we all know the story. But sometimes, I know even for me, I have to be reminded of it. Isaiah 26:3 tells us this. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. See, focusing is such a key because whatever we're focusing on is what we're moving towards. See, when we focus on Jesus, when we have our eyes fixed on him, that's when he can start doing all sorts of things. Start moving us in directions we never thought. Start opening doors that we thought were bolted shut. But focusing is only the first step. The second thing we have to do is be persistent. Now, I've never been someone who's kept a regular, you know, workout routine. I've been told many times I can't just work out once and it make a difference. Now, I'm a little offended at that, but, you know. But that's not the case. The definition of persistent is continuing to do something or to try to do something even though it is difficult or other people want you to stop. See, we have to be persistent. And there are things we have to be persistent in. The first thing we must be persistent in is the Word. The Holy Bible. We keep that thing with us. We are persistent in reading it, living it, all of it. Proverbs 4:21-23 tells us, do not let them out of your sight. Talking about the Word of God. Keep them within your heart. for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, from everything you do flows from it. So what is this literally saying? Being persistent in the word changes your body. Being persistent in the word changes your life. But just like working out, reading it once every so often can make very little difference. Even if you're that kind of person that has read through the Bible, that memorized the Bible, you know, there are those people like that in this world. They've read it front to back, back to front, can memorize it. You know, they'll sit there and say, okay, let's turn to Mark 4. It's the 2,000th word in the book, you know, and just have all these weird, and it's like, okay, I can't do that. But even these people, still persistent with the word of God. Even if you've read that scripture 100 times, being persistent in the word of God. And when you're persistent in the word of God, it even kind of leads to the next thing that we need to be persistent in. We need to be persistent in getting wisdom. Now, when I say wisdom, I don't even just mean, you know, the word of God. I even just mean learning in general. We live in a life, once you have those people that, have you ever met those people? They stop and they're like, I'm done learning. I've learned all I can. Nobody can teach me anything. And yet, they seem like the dumbest person. Because even the Bible tells us the wise only tried to get wiser. The wise go for wisdom. When we reach a spot in our life where we're no longer trying to get wisdom, it can cut off everything God needs to do with us. This is one of those, when it comes to wisdom, read Proverbs. Depending on which side on you are on this, of trying to always get wisdom or stopping to get wisdom, will make you feel different. If you're someone that always tries to get wisdom, you're going to love Proverbs. You're going to feel encouraged by it. If you're someone that's on the opposite side, Proverbs basically calls you dumb and a fool. But it's just the honest to God truth. Proverbs 24, 5 through 6 tells us, wisdom brings strength and knowledge gives power. Battles are won by listening to advice and making a lot of plans. Being persistent on getting wisdom changes the battle. Sometimes you may not even realize it. You may not even realize how much it makes a difference until you go into that battle. Until you're going in and you're like, okay, I know what I need to do. And the third thing we need to be persistent on is our acts. And I mean that by how we act. What do we do? Our behavior, our character. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. That right there at the beginning says, not to get tired of doing what is good. We have to be persistent in how we act. You know, growing up in church, the one thing I've actually heard a lot, and it's very disappointing, is they're different at home. They don't act the same way they do when they're around people. At home, it's a totally different person. And maybe we've been like that. Maybe you know people like that, that they're sitting there on a Sunday morning, praising God, hallelujah. And then Sunday night comes around, and they're like a completely different person. That if it wasn't your same face, people would literally have no idea that the two are the same. How do you expect God to move things in your life if you're acting two totally different ways? Let me explain it to you like this. I want you to imagine You're standing over here, and your point is to get from here to here. You'd be surprised how many times that's what God wants you to do. Seems so simple, from here to here. But you have a huge rock chained to your back. And, you know, you start doing, you know, being persistent in the things you need to do, you know, and you start moving. You start moving. And then you decide, oh, you know what? I'm going to go back this way. And you start going back. Or you just decide, oh, I'm done. I'm just going to stay right here. Then what happens when it comes the next time when you're supposed to try to push through this and you're supposed to be halfway, but because you decided to not be persistent in even the way you act, you're all the way at the beginning again. And you're so tired and you're feeling like you're not going anywhere because you keep going back and forth. See, the Bible tells us God sees our heart in all this. No matter what you're doing, He sees your heart. So we have to be persistent. Living in a life, especially in this world, there is so much going on. I'm going to tell you, you know, I've worked in a lot of different places. And I've met a lot of people that don't like Christians. Do you want to know why they don't like Christians? It's not because Christians come to them and say they're living a life of sin and they're going to hell. No, you know, there was none of that. It's because they know how a Christian's supposed to act. And they see how they act. They see how one moment they are telling them that they're living in sin and that they need Jesus. And then the next moment they're over here living like the world. I've seen that so many times. I've seen people come up to me. It's like, oh, you're just like a different Christian. I'm like, why? And they're like, well, you don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't cuss. You don't do all this and this and this. And I'm like, and? I was like, well, this other person over here that I know is a Christian, they do all that. You know, they sit there and go, well, you know, I'm a Christian because that's how I was raised. And I don't really live by any of that. Then stop calling yourself that. But we have the thing that in our life, when we are persistent with these things in the Word and getting wisdom in the way we act, things can start to change. I know sometimes it may seem difficult. I love how, you know, Crystal was talking about the Israel, you know, and so many times after, you know, they were delivered from Egypt, they were talking about going back to Egypt. Because they're like, well, it's better back there being slaves and getting tortured. But even though they complained that much, they were persistent in what they did. At least at some point, they had to kind of get rid of an entire generation, but they were persistent in that, and look where they ended up. In their promised land. That's point number three is this, is even when you're, after you have focused, after you have been persistent, the third thing you have to do is the worst. That's be patient and endure. See, those two things go together. Being patient and enduring. Because I'd love to tell you that while you're being patient, everything just stops and everything's nice and calm. Everything's all a breeze, but it's not. There's so much still going on around us. There's still so much storms going on while we're trying to be patient. Sometimes when we're being patient, the storm still, we're just standing in the middle of the storm. Let me tell you a quote I heard from a guy that was once a Jedi. He's no longer a Jedi. I'm not going to get into all that. It's from a Star Wars TV show. But here is what he said to his Padawan. Padawan is someone he's training, okay? If you're not caught up in the Star Wars lingo. But he said this. Impatience for victory will guarantee defeat. I've been there. I've had time where I decided I didn't want to be patient, that I didn't want to endure. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I found at the end of that road. Defeat. Sometimes it's difficult. But all I tell you, when you are patient and when you are endure, when you fix your eyes on Jesus and you decide to live the life he has called, being persistent in what he has, oh, doors open. And if you think, well, I can't be that. I can't be there. I've done too much. I've come to God and I've just complained. I've questioned God. Did you know questioning God and complaining to God does not disqualify you? You know, one of the things you know about Job, if you ever have Job preached, they usually only preach the first chapter and the last chapter. They preach the first chapter where the devil goes to God and he's like, God, you know, look at your servant Job. He's only serving you and praising you because you give him all this cool stuff. So God says, okay, go take it from him. We'll see what he does. Time and time goes, he takes everything. And then they talk about the last chapter, where Job does not curse God, so God blesses him twice as much. Did you know Job is like 30-something chapters? And all between the first and the last is Job coming, questioning, and complaining to God. Saying, God, you must have messed up because I've never done anything wrong to deserve this. God, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I have listened to you. And he has his friends behind of him yelling at him, you must be a sinner. You must be horrible. And he has his wife saying, just curse God and die. And Job's all sitting here wondering why Satan didn't take his wife. But no. See, even though Job complained and questioned God, he endured. So at the end of it, God was able to bless him with so much more. Even look at Joseph, the one with the coat of many colors. I would think at some point, Joseph would be standing there above all in Egypt except Pharaoh and go, you know what? If it wasn't for me being thrown in a pit, if it wasn't for me to be sold into slavery, then being in prison for all these years, I wouldn't be standing here. What Joseph had to go through changed his life. But you also realize, even with Joseph, did his focus ever change from God? No. Was he persistent in everything he did? Yes. And at the end, after all of that, he's standing above all. He's second in command at Egypt. I know sometimes it's hard. We look at our lives here. We look at everything going on, thinking it's not worth it. I've failed before. But it's not too late. Timothy, if you can come. God is always there. All you have to do is turn your eyes to him. Now, just because you mess up once, does that disqualify you? No. Turn your eyes back to him. Oh, God knows I've had so many times. I'm what you call a squirrel person. What that means is that any time, no matter what's going on, I can just be like, squirrel. And I know, I haven't always been persistent in the things I do. Even in reading the Bible. All that. Now, because I tell you, my mind is so much like, you know, Tyler's daughter that was over here. I'd just be praying and all of a sudden I'm just, woo. No idea what's going on. No idea what I was even thinking just now, praying about. Because I'll tell you the best thing is that even through all of this, God's got patience with you. Colossians 1, 10 through 11 tells us this. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. Your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All while you grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. It doesn't matter where you're at in life now. What circumstances you have. Doesn't matter what the doctor has said. Doesn't matter what the bank has said. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Him. Make Him the center. Be persistent in the Word and getting wisdom and learning. Never stop. Be persistent in the way you act. And be patient and endure, because I know God's there. See, you know, when Paul's talking about the finish line Paul's talking about, like I said, is the end of life. But did you know God's got little finish lines for us to cross on our way there? And that's what we can even use to motivate us. Remember those times that God has been for you, there for you. Like Krista was saying, those times that God has been there for you, that God has delivered you. Focus on that. And there is no door that is closed. There is no mountain that can overcome you. Whether God brings you through the mountain, over the mountain, or moves the mountain, whatever it may be. Don't give up because you're in the middle of the storm. Don't give up because, like Peter, you've taken your eyes off Jesus and you sink. Because let me tell you something. Did Peter's story end there? No. Jesus didn't look at Peter and be like, well, he took his eyes off me and just let him drown. No. Just as Jesus picked Peter up out of that water, He'll pick you up. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't even matter how long you feel like you've been drowning. Fix your eyes back on Him. Ask God to give you the strength to be persistent and for patience and to endure. Because I know when you let God move in your life like that, things change. Y'all can go ahead and stand. Wherever you're at in life, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter what you've done, how long you feel like your eyes have been off of Jesus, how long you feel like you've doubted Him in a certain area, you can fix your eyes on Him now. I want everyone to pray with me. Whether you repeat what I say you in your own words, doesn't matter. God, we focus on You. that you are the center of our lives. God, we ask that you give us the strength to be persistent, in your word, to never tire of getting wisdom. God, that the way we act is a reflection of you always. That when people look at us, they can say that is someone who is Christ-like. God, forgive me when I haven't been patient. Forgive me when I have just complained. God, we are here to say we trust you. Because we know that you have the best for us. That no matter what we're going through, one day we can be like Joseph standing at the top going, you know, if it wasn't for that instance, I would never have been here. If it wasn't for that hurt, I would never have learned the lesson that will affect thousands. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for meeting with us here today. And in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. As Pastor Tyler comes up.
Thank you, Justin, for that word. Just real quick, I'd like to share something with you that God put on my heart in the last service. As a basketball coach, I'm always looking for new content, new material, stuff I can use. And I came across this quote, and it's a quote by Dawn Staley. Dawn Staley was a very good collegiate basketball player. She won multiple awards. She's now a coach for South Carolina. She's a national champion coach. She's a USA gold medalist. And she was quoted with saying this to her players. She said, "The problem is, y'all got league dreams with backyard work ethic, and your parents applaud it." What does that mean to us? To us, that means that we want everything that God has to offer us, but we're not willing to do our part. We're only willing to do just enough. We're not willing to put in the sweat and the tears and go through everything that we have to go through in order to keep our focus at top notch on what God has for us. In order for us to run that race, sometimes we don't want to do all the work that's involved. But in order for us to get to that point, we have to make it our focus. We have to make it we have to be persistent in the things of doing what we need to do to go after God, to get to that point where he wants us to get to. And you know, Paul says we have to run the race, and he says run for a reason, because what happens when you're out for a leisurely walk in the park? You notice things, don't you? You notice trash on the ground. You notice birds in the air. You notice trees rustling in the wind. You notice all that stuff, whether it's good or bad stuff. But what happens when you run? You're focused on where you're trying to get to. Whenever you're walking, you're just, you know, yeah, you're trying to get to a certain point, but in that walk, you're noticing everything else around you. But Paul said to run the race, because in order to run, we have to stay focused on where we're trying to go. We're more persistent in the run in order to get to that place that God wants us to get to. So instead of expecting God to just do all that, instead of it just to be served to us on a silver platter. He wants to do that because he's good. But sometimes, you know, we have to have that work ethic to get to that point. Does that make sense? Okay.